welcome to episode 147 of Inside the Cage. Scott and Mark with you, as ever. How are you, mate? Are you good?
I'm not too bad, mate. How's yourself?
All righty. Back to the grind today after an extended long weekend in the UK because of the Platinum Jubilee, which was nice.
Yeah, it was all right if you had it, weren't it?
We chose to work, so don't gaze that pish.
Well, I was only getting one day anyway, but I did choose to, work Friday anyway, because to be honest, I couldn't give a shit any shit about stuff at all.
Yeah. I don't care either, but I get 2 days off for it, so it's cool.
Yeah, that's true. You can't complain about that.
And the weather's been class in Scotland, which is decent.
The last few days have been class, man. It's been good to go out and about and see a bit of sun. And it's been good, mate. It's been a good few days up here.
Sure has, my man. Right, instead of chit-chat, let's get right into it. So, guys, follow the usual pattern. Look back at the weekend at Volkov versus Rosenstrike, and then look ahead to UFC 275 in Singapore. Looking forward to that. That should be good. So let's get right into it. UFC Volkov versus Rosenstrike from the Apex, headlined by, obviously, the heavyweight eliminator, whatever you want to call it, bout between Alexander Volkov and Yerzhinyo Rosenstrike. And first thing is, I should probably eat my words from last week, big time.
No, I don't think a lot of people expected that, to be honest. I didn't think Volkov would get there and knock him out within 2.5 minutes. I just did not expect that to happen in the slightest. Mm-hmm. Fair play to the big man. Fair, I thought he looked half decent. He looked all right for a couple of minutes. He was dying. He kept the range well and stuff like that. And he hit him a couple of decent strikes, but...
It was the way he was striking. I'm not technical in any way, right? But normally he stands, he throws a jab, and there's very little movement forward. But it felt like he was stepping into his punches, like he was bringing every bit of him forward to smash Rosenstrike. Like he was proper trying to. It looked like he was trying to knock Rosenstrike out. Whereas I've not seen that kind of out of Volkov for such a long time. I thought Volkov looked brilliant. I know it's easy to say it's 2:48, but I thought Volkov looked sensational, mate, to be honest, for the very short time he was in there.
Yeah, he looked all right. I feel like he was... Rosenstrike's a wee bit of a wounded animal in that respect as well, but I think obviously he's been off a couple of bad losses isn't the right word, but he's got to a level and it's a glass ceiling for him, and he can see everything above it, but he's just no fucking going through it anytime soon.
Aye, he can't break it.
I know he's kind of early on in his career and stuff like that, but he's fought in Gano, he's fought Gan, Blades, Volkov, four guys who are pretty much all above him. And he couldn't get anywhere near them, but he just couldn't beat them. And it's not fair, but it's only four losses in his career, he's on his record. I don't know what it was with Rosenstrike. It was just, I don't know if it was a wee bit tentative or what, but it was just a bit of a wounded animal performance. I think that's what it was. And he's in serious trouble now, because where he goes for here, I will never know. He's the one of the young heavyweights who are coming through, or outside the top 15. I looked at a guy in the top 15 they want to fight, and it's him at this moment in time, because he is wounded.
Yes, absolutely, mate. Totally agree. He looked a bit kind of... He did try and throw a couple of big bombs, but you're going to need to be a bit sharper to hit Volkov. I agree. Totally wounded animal. I don't know if maybe he's going to be a top 15, that kind of gatekeeper, maybe a top 10, because he's still hanging. Well, I suppose the rankings haven't been updated yet, so you never know. But guys like Pavlovich and Romanov and Ivanov should be looking to fight him to move up. That's the kind of guys you should be looking at. But yeah,
definitely. Do you think it was a bit early, by the way? That seems to be the main talking point of the day, was getting on a bit.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. Like, it's always at the time when it got stopped, that split second where Herb stepped in, bang on. But, like, a split second, like, less than half a second later, Rosenstrike's up and looks steady-ish on his feet. So, could it have went another couple of punches? Probably. Would it have lasted much longer? No. Would it have been the same outcome? Yes. So does it really fucking matter? No. Was it early? Possibly. Was it not early? Possibly. I honestly don't mind, mate. Either way.
I think it was... I thought it was just a slightly early. I think one or two punches early. But I suppose the old thing is make sure the fighters are protected and stuff. And that's what the referee's done. He's done his job. It's better too early than too late, as they say.
Correct.
I suppose...
That's it, mate. It's definitely early. It's definitely better to be early. I mean, Rosenstrike wasn't defending himself. He was on the way down. when your man stepped in. I think it with Herb Dean is a difficult one because Herb Dean stepped in at the right moment because he'd been dropped, and as he was being dropped, Volkov hit him again, and Herb Dean was on his way in. The problem is it takes Herb Dean about 46 minutes to stop the fight, so that's why it looks worse, because by the time he's actually got in and stopped the fight, Rozenstruik's like, right, I'm ready to go. But by that point, the fight's been stopped because Herb's just slow at it. So I think Herb maybe makes it look slow. Maybe a couple of punches to early, mate, but it's nothing major. I wasn't pure screaming at the telly going, oh my God, Herb Dean again.
No, I didn't have any issues. I looked at it and went, be a wee touch earlier, but I'm not going to complain about it. I think that's all you can say. I think maybe if it was a bigger fight and maybe there was more on the line, you can maybe argue the case that, well, these guys are in there, they know what they're in there for. If it takes a couple extra duck punches and he knows the damage he's going to take, then you'd have a good complaint to make because you're obviously in there to fight, you're in there to win titles, you're in there to make money, I suppose. It's pie fighting at the end of the day, but as you say, aye, the guy didn't need to take any more damage than he did, and nah, I don't have an issue with it either, to be honest.
Movsar Evloev, has he confirmed himself as a legit challenger at 145?
I think we always knew the man had skill. I mean, as the old saying, skills to pay the bills. I think you're definitely that he is one of the most all-rounded mixed martial artists in the full of the MMA, never mind anything else. He's proven it in the past. If you want to stand and bang with him, he'll do that, but he'll then change tacks and he'll go for the takedown and he'll just out-wrestle you.
Yeah.
And Danny, you didn't have any answer to anything that Movsar Evloev done. He literally ran the fight from start to finish. He'd done what he wanted to do to Danny Ige. Danny Ige was a fucking mess at the end of that fight as well. And that That's was his ass must have been sore as well, man. Honestly, it was a brilliant performance, but he's still missing that finish and it's fucking annoying as hell.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it wasn't like utterly outstanding. Like, it wasn't like, I mean, I was like, oh fucking hell, this is like one of the best ones I've ever seen. But as you see, what he was so good at everything that Ige has no answer for it. But maybe he didn't need to be that good. Maybe he's still in second gear, mate, to be honest, because some of it did look a bit like that, like he was maybe in third gear and he's got a couple more to go. The boy's fucking unreal, man. He's sensational. He's slowly taking a path, which I like, because obviously these Russians come in at 9-0, and you look at his record and you think, okay, M1 challenge, whatever the hell that is. Obviously, I know it's a promotion, but some of the guys, you know, you don't know how good these guys are. He fights guys like Wu Choi, Barzola, Grundy, Lentz, Dowdy. He's like a natural progression of fighter, and he's just shown every step of the way how good he is. I think he's a legit threat. I don't see many above him that are going to pose him many problems, to be honest. Except obviously Champ, but that's five or six fights away, I would say, or three or four fights away. So I was well impressed, mate. I thought he was brilliant.
Yeah, totally agree. Obviously, I'd imagine when the rankings got updated, you look at him, they went to the top 10. You look ahead of him, Bryce Mitchell, could the high ground switch on the ground? I think absolutely. Jiri Kikadze, could he stand and fight, box with him, bang with him, kick with him? I have absolutely no doubt about that. Josh Emmett, could he stand and actually... Because Josh Emmett is a fighter. He's not an outstanding brawler. He's not an outstanding boxer. Could he do that with Josh Emmett? I have no doubt that he would change things up and do that. Arnold Allen, that would be sensational. I know he called Arnold Allen after the fight on Saturday night. Great call out, but there's only one problem with that. And Arnold Allen's only looking up the way. He is never going to take a fight. It's a no-lose situation for Arnold Allen. He beats Evloev. Brilliant, well done. You beat a guy who's just come into the top 10, that's it. But he gets beat by Evloev. He loses his all momentum that he's had for how many years now? 3 or 4 years in the UFC and won so many fights. So that fight's not going to happen. So I think for Evloev, he's looking at Bryce Mitchell, Jiri-Kadze. That's probably the next two fights, one of the two for me.
Yeah. I agree. Your man Arnold Allen tweeted or Instagrammed afterwards saying, looking ahead, not back, and put a emoji of a zombie. So he's looking to fight TKZ. So that's fine. I definitely would like to see, I think, Evloev, actually, Bryce, Giga, Josh Emmett, something like that.
Obviously, Josh and Calvin Emmett and Kater are fighting next week, possibly giving the winner that.
Yeah.
Possibly, do you know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
need to wait and see, man. But he's a sensational mixed martial artist. I think that's probably the best way to put it.
I agree with you. He's probably the best pound for pound mixed martial artist, like, as in complete mixed martial artist. I think there's not many better than him anyway, that's for sure. What about, I mean, the rest of this main card was quick, shall we say, except Almeida. Almeida Trezano, fight of the night, and they're deservingly so.
Yeah, brilliant, man. Couple of knockdowns. Fucking, I honestly don't know how Mike Trezano came back at certain times, but it was superb. And Trezano getting the knockdown, it was just what a fight from start to finish, to be honest. I really, really enjoyed it. Cracking fight to watch. And Almeida looks good, by the way. It looked very, very good.
How did you have it scored after two?
You probably would have taken up down into consideration, so probably 1-1, to be honest, going after two.
Yeah. No, I was the same, mate. I was the same. I was going to say, how'd you have it after a minute of the third round? But very little happened until Almeida smashed them. So it was a left hook for hell, by the way.
Unbelievable knockout, mate. Absolute fucking class, by the way. He looks really good as well, by the way. I know obviously he got knocked out by Trezano, but Trezano's no mug. He's a good fighter, Trezano. He's just hard, missing, mate. Something.
He's hard as anything. Do you know what I mean? He's a tough. I mean, he's New Jersey. He's that kind of. He's that East Coast Italian American. You know, they're always going to be good at fight games. They're always going to be good at this. I think it's a shame for him coming off two losses. But I think he'll be back. No bother, mate. He'll be back and, you know, back in amongst the wins. No problem. Almeida's one to watch for sure. Absolutely.
100%, mate. He's a danger in that division, and we're good to see where he goes next, to be honest.
What about one of the deepest, tightest, best dust chokes I think I've ever seen? It was the grip on that was ridiculous, by the way.
Yeah, Pateo was fucking literally gasping, mate. She didn't know how to deal with it at all, mate, in the slightest.
It was so tight. Like, I was actually like, kind of squirming because it was like so tight and so. It almost looked like perfect. It was amazing. Class for Karine Silva. To win on a debut like that, I think that always shows pretty good to win first round on your debut. That's pretty cool.
I think she looked really good as well, by the way, for up to the finish. I thought she looked really decent. Kind of same with Boteo. Boteo wasn't horrendous either, but it wasn't a bad fight up until that point. Both looked pretty decent, but I think there's definitely something there with Silva. I don't know what it is. There's definitely something there to be able to. Because obviously she knocked her down, then get the takedown, and then looked for the finish from there. So it was brilliantly done, man. She's a bit of a beast because on the ground and stuff like that, she's got a lot of submissions in her game, a lot of submissions, some good finishes as well. I like to look at her. So again, I love one about Almeida. It'll be interesting to see what they do with her now and see where they push her forward. It's a flyweight, there's a few contenders in there, but it's not the deepest division, so you might find that if she picks up another good win, because Pateo's a decent win, that's not a bad one. I know she's lost the last couple, but it's not a bad one, and you might find that they'll push Silva on into bigger and better things quite quickly.
Yeah, I agree. What about Odier Osborne? I mean, this was a wild minute. This was these two swinging like fuck, man.
At flyweight, you don't see loads and loads of knockouts, let's be honest. They're tough wee dudes. They throw 1,000,000,000 punches a minute, but they're not exactly. The knockout was fucking sensational, but man, what a fucking knockout. Doing things like that is just absolutely brilliant. Again, another guy who's kind of win loss in the UFC. Obviously, that's two in a row now. Lost to Cap, lost to Kelliger up at. That featherweight he fought there, Jesus Christ, how the hell did he get down to flyweight?
Bantamweight, mate. Keller's a bantamweight.
I know Keller's a bantamweight, but if you look at his record, either side it's featherweight bouts. So I don't know what that was at.
No, that Brian Keller was at bantamweight.
Was it? Right, okay.
Yeah.
So he looks good, but man, I like to look at him, so. Great knockout, but as you say, man, in the first minute, can I go around with that, man? Class, fit player.
So, we probably should make a retraction because we talked up Askar Mozarov. We even inducted him into the Kiva Crosby Club. So, obviously his status, although, so see, could we actually leave him in the club? Because he's fucking terrifying to look at. I mean,
it's okay. Nothing to do with how he fights, it's how he looks.
Aye, so he's staying in then?
Aye, he can stay in, that's fine. Don't want to show that.
He can stay in the club. But yeah, I mean, he dripped his all. What was his record? 22-3 when he started fighting, or 22-7? And now it's 19-13. So
I don't know. He's had three records, apparently. I don't know. Mm. He's talking like three different names with three different records. Aye, that whole thing seems absolutely mental for Askar. I'm disappointed that it went. But Menefield, you've got to do what you do to win the fight. And obviously he knew, he's watched Mozarov, and know straight away, get him when he's back, he's like a fish out of water, he's not got a clue what he's doing.
Yeah.
But something tells me if the two of them had just stood there, looked at each other and went, right, we're just fucking swinging, that would have been a fucking sensational fight. But yeah. Menefield showed some great fight IQ to just fucking go, right, fuck it, I'm having you. Went like 30 seconds to try to take him down one, it was fucking rapid.
Yeah. And then
I'm taking you down and I'm fucking finishing this, and he just mashed him, mate, for the next 4 minutes, to be honest. Absolutely mangled him. He'd him in two, I think he had two crucifixes on at one point. He absolutely mangled him.
There's not many finishes better than elbows from crucifix position. That is probably one of the best things you might see in MMA, is somebody getting elbows dropped on their face when they are defenceless.
It's
brutal, man. Yeah, fair play to Alonso. Good performance from Alonso Menefield. Thought he was good. Mozarov looked like he could probably stand and bang, but that was about it. Maybe it'd be interesting to see if he fights again. I honestly can't imagine he will fight again. You know how funny Dana is with things like that, so you might find he doesn't fight again, but we'll see.
Yeah, if they say Mozarov back in the UFC, I would be pretty surprised, to be honest. Really would be surprised, because I've not a shite that's run about him. So no, but Menefield looked good, man. Again, an interesting guy in that light heavyweight division. So, hi, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Okay, special mentions on the prelims only. Give me some names. What do you want? Hit me with somebody.
I've got to start with KK, haven't we? There's only one to start with, man. It's let's be honest, arguably the biggest name on the fucking card, I don't mean anything else. As such, yeah. I know, not just in letters, but in fucking terms of who she is. I thought she looked really good, but this is Felice Herrig. This is somebody who's fought once in 3 years and has had some really bad injuries. And again, this was her last fight. She was on her way out the door. So I'm holding reservations. I really liked how good she looked, KK, but I'm not getting too excited. As much as she's one of my favourites by the day, a few years ago, man. I just fucking love watching her. But I'm just keeping it calm. And just going, yes, really good performance. She looked confident again. She looked deadly, man. She looked like she wants to get that finish. And she looked a bit powerful. She looked really good, obviously, on the ground as well to get the finish. And, mate, I'm really, really excited to see where she goes now. She's not getting any younger, because if she wants to do anything, she's got to do it. She's got to do it quickly.
Yeah, she's 37 before the end of the year. I've been interested. I don't know if she'll do much more, to be honest, mate. I don't think she's, as we talked about last week, and we said how far the women's game has come. I just don't think she's anywhere near that, if I'm honest with you.
Probably not, but I think she's one of these girls who could probably not be a top 10 gatekeeper, because I don't imagine that's something which she'd want to do. But if she's in around that top 10, maybe that would be enough to kind of satisfy her. Maybe at the end of the day, she'd call it quits at that. It was quite nice to hear she'd been training with JJ. She'd get her over to Florida and stuff like that, and she'd been training over there, and she'd get a bit of hunger back for it and stuff like that. And it was good to hear the story and stuff. And yeah, no, I'm happy for her, because I think she's probably one of the nicest people in fucking MMA, to be honest.
Aye, nicest, but would take your fucking head off.
I wish I proved that on Saturday night, because the last few fights she's been, was that five in a row she'd lost, so she was, that was probably, I'd imagine that was the last fight on her deal, I guess. So
yeah, not, probably. I don't know if she's doing or not. I know Felice is retired, but yeah. I don't imagine
she'll chuck it anyway, put it that way.
With Carolina?
Yeah, the way she was talking after the fight and stuff, and she was getting interviewed, I don't think there's any way she's... I think she took... The way she was obviously talking, she left Poland for a couple of months and left her dogs and her husband and all that to go and train. You're not going to do that if you're just going to chuck it after one fight.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Maybe it's a commitment for another couple of years now, mate. Never know.
Possibly, man, but no, it was good to see her back.
Right, my turn. Let's talk about the big Frenchman, Benoit Saint-Denis. Ragdoll in a German.
Like, I actually fast forward this at one point. I thought nothing's changed. He's fucking still lying on the deck and his fucking arse is still on it. He literally just fucking kept opening the deck for
6 minutes.
6 minutes. It was absolute devastation for Saint Denis, to be honest, mate. Still had no idea what to do. Absolutely no clue.
He looked massive at 155. I don't know why. I don't know if it was just maybe the angle of the camera or something, but I thought the two of them looked fucking huge at 155.
They did. They looked like big boys. I think Saint Denis especially looked absolutely massive at that weight, to be honest. Like he's 26. He's young, but he's maybe only got another couple of years, maybe at that weight, and maybe something he'd need to look at moving up. But it was a great victory for him. Absolutely superb, man.
Anything else? Any other special mentions you want to mention, or do you want to move on?
Just the shite that Jeff Molina's taken, by the way, for wearing rainbow coloured shorts is fucking disgraceful.
Mate, it was sadly, that is what is the society we live in. You're going to get people who love it and people who think it's great and people who think it's ridiculous and he's been getting death threats. I did like his tweet though, where he said, "Listen, to all the guys in my DMs, I'm flattered, just not my thing. And to all the arseholes, like, fuck yous," basically. And fair play to him for doing it, mate. Like, it's a big thing, and it's good to get support, you know, for pride and for LGBTQ everywhere, in every walk of life. And if Jeff Molina wearing those shorts inspires one person who's maybe struggling with that, you know, to talk or, you know, perhaps take up a sport, then great, mate. Do you know what I mean? Fair play him. And the fact that he's the only one that's done it so far is a bit shite. But listen, I'm not going to call out other fighters for not doing it, because it's not fair. It's not everybody's.
It's personal preference, isn't it?
Of course. Fair play to Jeff Molina. Class move. And yeah, fuck everybody who doesn't agree with him. That's my point.
100%. Just a wee bit lucky on Saturday as well, just to put that out there, by the way. But we'll leave that on in there.
A little bit lucky, but yeah. Right, anyway, let's move on. Big one this weekend. We're moving on to UFC 275, headlined by the light heavyweight championship fight between Glover Teixeira and the Terminator. From against Yuri Prochazka from the Singapore Indoor Stadium. UFC in Singapore, first pay-per-view in Asia, big deal. It feels like a big deal for some reason. They've done Singapore before, and we've watched Singapore before. We've reviewed Singapore, we've done China, we've done the UK, we've done everywhere. But this, for some reason, just feels a little bit extra, and I'm not 100% sure why. I can't actively explain that to you, but there's something about it. The card isn't bra, as in the card isn't the best pay-per-view card you will see. The top three fights on it, yes, the rest of it on the edge. But something
I think the main card in the top prelim is pretty good, but I think apart from that, I can't agree with you there. George's tribute, Jake Matthews, Andre Filal was fucking sensational. How's Andre Filal fighting again?
Yeah, fourth time in 6 months.
So he's fucking trying to beat fucking Thingy's record. What's his face?
Holland.
Aye, Kevin Holland's fucking record, definitely. But that's fucking sensational. Fair play to him for that.
I mean, we need to talk about the main event. I think a lot of people are, you know, in the Prochazka camp. So I don't know what camp you're in. I presume you're in Prochazka, but I'm going to give you a chance. Sell Glover Teixeira winning this to me. Great. Right.
Do you know what the thing I see with Prochazka? I'll be honest, Glover's way to victory will be to somehow get Prochazka on his back and try and get a finish, some sort of choke or something like that, right? That's his way to victory. I have yet to see Prochazka, I don't think, after that in my head, trying to defend a takedown, never mind anything else. So he fought, obviously, Reyes, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Reyes isn't going to try and take him down. So no. I definitely don't remember seeing one in that, and Uzdemir doesn't know what a fucking takedown is. So I have yet to see Prochazka get taken down, so I have no idea if the man can defend a takedown. Now, He probably can. He's 31, 32 fights in his MMA career, so surely he can defend a takedown. But when you cover Teixeira, a guy who's 42, 43, can't remember exactly, defining the odds to become champion in the first place, if he wants to keep his belt, he's got a massive chance to do that if he can take Pachazka down. If he decides for any single second that he's going to stand and try and fight Pachazka with his hands or his feet, he's going to get knocked the fuck out. So, we know if it's happening straight away, this is going to be Ben Askren versus fucking Jorge Masvidal. There's got to be a takedown win fucking 2 seconds. It's the only way Teixeira can win the fight, basically.
Yeah. I just don't think Glover's going to get anywhere near him. I think if Glover, as you say, it's get Ben Askren as Masvidal and over. I think if Glover tries, Pachazka's going to like fucking knee him in the face or kick him in the face or something. I don't know what it is, man. There's something about Pachazka that just makes me think psychopath. So I just don't, he could maybe go in the club, by the way. Maybe he doesn't look particularly scary, but there's something about him that's just scary.
Scary on fight night when he's got that fucking mop sticking out the top of his head, but he looks like a fucking dildo.
Fuck's sake. Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't see anything else except Jiří Procházka, KO or TKO, inside 3 rounds. There you go.
I agree with you, mate. To be honest, I think you'll struggle to find any person in the world that, I don't think it's that you don't want Glover Teixeira to win. I think it's just you want Procházka to win. Just because his style is sensational to watch.
I don't dislike Glover. I was a bit gutted when Jan lost it because, I mean, I like Blachowicz, but I just love Prochazka. I think a guy that came into the UFC with a record of 26-3 at light heavyweight, you wonder where the fuck he's been, how we've never heard of him. And then he comes on the scene and just drops absolute all holy hell on two of the top 5 at the time or 2 of the top 10 at the time. And you're sitting going, where has this guy been hiding? What has he been doing? I think that's just something so likable because of that. He's come in, he's made a loud splash. And I would be amazed if he's not holding that belt at the end of the night on Saturday.
So would I, if I'm totally honest. I'll be totally surprised. And I think the money will be on Pachazka by KO. The only thing I will say is Pachazka has, well, 2 losses in his record. One was a punch by Big King Mo.
That's not going to happen.
That's the one that happened. And the only other loss was to some guy named Abdul Karim Edilov. And it was a weird naked joke.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So, that's only maybe slight wee bit of hope that Glover's got, that he has got one loss in his record to a submission. Yeah. I'm expecting something spectacular here. I'm expecting something sensational. And it's just going to set him up as, and I'm going to say he's a no superstar already, but an absolutely sensational superstar that's just amazing to watch.
Mm. Okay, anyway, I'm going to ask you possibly the easiest MMA related question I have ever asked you, ever, right?
Go.
Does Tyler Santos have a chance?
Probably not, but...
You shat the bed, didn't you, man? The answer to that question is fuck no.
Well, the official answer, the toe-the-line answer, fucking stick it in the book, in the paper, on the TV, whatever we got to do, answer is no, she doesn't fucking have a chance. But at the end of the day, she is an extremely well-rounded mixed martial artist. She's a record of 19-1. She's not lost since... So she lost her debut in the UFC. It was a split decision against Mara Balera. She's got one loss in 15 fights. She's won her last 4. Will she win? No. But could she make it interesting? I think she might. I think she might make it more interesting than what a lot of the girls who have fought Valentina over the last few years have made it, to be honest. Let's be honest, to fight it.
I'm going to read something to you, right?
Hit me.
So, I'm going to read to you the records of the 13 girls she fought in her first 13 wins. Are you ready? 1-0.
For Santos?
Yeah. 1-0, 0-1, 0-1, 2-1, 1-3, 0-1, 0-0, 0-0, 0-1, 0-0, 3-1, 0-1, and 0-1. So, not that I'm saying she hasn't fought decent, right? She's fought Molly McCann, beat Molly, decent fight. We've always said Molly isn't the best MMA fighter in the world. Molly is very good, very good. We know that. She's impactful, but she's maybe not, you know, top 10, top 5 in the world. Gillian Robertson is nowhere near that level. I would expect Molly to beat Gillian. I don't think she actually did. I think Gillian beat Molly, but I can't remember.
And her debut in Liverpool, wasn't it?
Roxanne Modafferi, again, hard, but not a great fighter. And Joanne Wood, as we know, Jojo
has limitations.
It's had a moment, but had limitations. I do not see her anywhere near Shevchenko's level, mate. Like, even worse than some of the people Shevchenko's fought before. I like Tayla Santos. I think she's decent, but she's nowhere near that level, mate. Nowhere near. I think she's in for a massive shock. If the for some strange reason it doesn't go that way, and for some reason Tayla Santos wins, I will happily eat my words. But I just don't see it, mate. That 19-1 is padded to feck. That should be 6-1. And then you're looking at those numbers, you're thinking to yourself, fuck. I mean, come on. Do you know what I mean?
You sold it to me. Shevchenko's got to smash him in 2 rounds.
Cool. Brilliant. Done it. Yes. Right.
But just since Shevchenko's just sensational, by the way. It's got to be a performance and a half, I think. You've just sold me. I looked at the 19-1 record, didn't look too deep into it, but now you've told me that she's fought last year, so probably about 3 wins and her 19 fights kind of shows you.
I think we talked about Shevchenko struggling the last few fights, but I think she's almost been toiling with people because she just loves fighting. I think
bored.
It's more a case
of she's bored.
Probably bored, mate. But you know what? She's going to smash Santos and move on. Simple as that. Another easy question for you: are you buzzing for another 15 minutes of Zhang versus JJ?
I think so. My thing is, I feel like I've not seen JJ since she was fucking 4 years or something.
Yeah, it's not that long, but it's been a couple of years.
Two and a half years since she bought Bailey the first time.
2 years, 2 months, mate. Calm down.
It feels like fucking ages. Well, I can't believe that fight.
Listen, just you stop being negative about Joanna, okay? It's no fair.
Just because she's your girl. Shut up.
Yeah, well, I remember her right from day one, mate. It's one of these people that are in, you know, you talk about clubs, you've got the Kiefer Crosby Club, you've got my fighter club, and she was one of the very first members in it, mate. I think she's brilliant. I think she struggled over the years with Rose. Rose was like a kryptonite. Obviously, she struggled with Zhang, but it was just an insanely good fight. I'm just buzzing to see her back. I'm buzzing to see her fight Zhang again because it was insane. I think it was our second. It was second in our fight, or was it our fight of the year? It might actually have been our fight of the year that year. I don't know. I can't remember.
I'm only kind of toying as such. I do think it will be a sensational fight, probably. We'll be interested to see if that couple of years off has made any difference to JJ, if she's added anything else to her game. We don't know. Well, so what she's really been up to for the last couple of years and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to see. We know Zhang's been pretty busy. Fought for the belt, lost the belt, won the belt, blah blah blah, whatever she's done, and it's gotta be a sensational mixed fight anyway. Let's be honest, man. The two of them are going not fucking 70s or 60s, sure. The way the two of them fight is just destined to be a great fight. But I just will be interested to see which JJ's like after a couple of years.
Give me throw some fights at me. Talk to me. What's warming your cockles, as they say?
I think it'll be interesting to see how good Cap is, a good bond to you. I think it's a massive step up for him. I think everybody was kind of talking about Cap as a bit it's before he had his first UFC fight, obviously lost to Pantoja. Massive step up straight away. He came straight into the UFC and fight Pantoja. Lost that fight, then got lost to Nicolau. Again, the Nicolau was a split decision, so how thingy was it? How close was it? I can't really remember. So I bet you see how good he actually is against Bodtree. So,
well, actually, good choice because if you guys pay attention this week, I did a little collab with Lewis. Shout out to Lewis at Norton MMA. And this is one of the fights we covered, and it's an interesting one. Like, I love Manal Cap. as I was saying to Lewis when I was talking to him, is when he's, it's very rare in Europe, if you guys listen, in the States, that you hear of a fighter that doesn't say fight for Cage Warriors or KSW. It's very rare. And Manal Kapp was one that had come across my eyes before he signed for UFC. So when he signed for UFC, I was a wee bit like, fucking yes, Manal Kapp's legit. Had a couple of losses. You kind of obviously think, ah, maybe he's not ready for the level. The first loss was a harsh one. It was a learning curve for him. And, you know, the split decision against Nicolau was very, very close. Could have went either way. So, I mean, getting fighting Pantoja in your first fight, your debut in the UFC, is ridiculous. So he certainly looks like he's coming into his own. I think he'll win. I think he'll beat Bontorin. But I don't know how. I just think, you know, there's something about Kapp. I think he seems to be on a bit of a roll.
I think he's going to beat Bontorin. There's only one way as well. He's just going to knock him the fuck out, is he? I can't see it.
Well, Bontorin gassed like so much against Kai Kara-France. Remember last March? He took Kai Kara-France down, ragdolled Kara-France for 4 minutes, stood up and Kara fucking smacked him. So, like, you see, he could gas, he could not gas. It's an interesting fight, mate. It'll be really good to see. I'd love to see Manel Kapp. Big size difference here as well. Manel's huge for flyweight, so this will be interesting.
It will be. It will be interesting to see the difference. I don't know, obviously, Bontorin's like fucking 4 foot tall and 4.5 foot wide. He's fucking wider than he is tall, man. He's fucking massive in that respect. Yeah. Obviously, he fucking missed weight at bantamweight against Schnell, didn't he? So,
yeah.
It'll be interesting. Obviously, Bontorin's lost his last four, I think. Is that right? Or he's lost three and one no contest in there. Aye. So, for Rogério Bontorin, this is a must win. This is probably his UFC career on the line, fighting a guy who's, I suppose, he's 14th in the rankings for Bontorin, so it's quite a... This is a terrible loss for Bontorin in that respect, but I've got no doubt that.
Bontorin's 8th, you know what I mean? So
I think Manuel Kamp, I think I agree with you that he probably will go out there and beat Bontorin, and I think not be the last to see a Rogério Bontorin, to be honest.
Could be. There isn't much else like proper jumping out at me on this card. Like Brendan Allen, Jacob Malcoombs get class fight written over it. Joshua Koulibal versus Sung Woo Choi. Decent fight, but I covered Jake Matthews and Andre Fiallo with Lewis against another fight with another video I did with Lewis as well. And it's an interesting fight. Obviously, Andre Fiallo fighting for the fourth time since the 22nd of January, which is ridiculous.
Once every month, basically.
Aye, four times in 5 months, basically, by the time he fights, you know, but like a month, and like 4 months, five months and like 2 weeks or whatever, do you know what I mean? So crazy, but I mean, it's very Asian friendly, Asian heavy, like there's a lot of, there's some Chinese, there's some not Japanese, there's some Korean, South Korean, there's a lot of Aussies, you know, there's, I think, what's Romana Pascal, what flag is that? Is that like Taipei or something, that flag?
That's Taipei, aye.
Taiwan. So there's a lot of like foreign, like that part of the world also. You'd expect that in Singapore, but listen, it should still be a good card. It's MMA, it's going to be class. UFC don't put on really, really terrible fight nights, so it should be good, but I don't think there's anything massively jumping out at me there.
No, I kind of agree with you. I like the whole kit. Ho Kang versus Bacquiao, to be fair, that's probably the only other one I'm looking at going, ooh, that could be a belter. Obviously, Bacquiao lost to Chris Gutierrez last time out, so I'm interested to see how Bouch is back for that, but he's a very, very good fighter as well. So
I just remembered that knockout. That was a ridiculous knockout, that spinning back fist, man. That was, wow. I just pure, see, when I read that, I was like, I don't remember him losing to Gutierrez, spinning back fist. Oh, I remember that. It was brilliant.
Fucking hell, man.
But
you don't realise how long Kyung Ho Kang's actually been in the UFC. Made his debut back on the 2nd of March 2013 against Alex Caceres. Fuck's sake, man. That's 10 years ago.
It's not very active though. He had 4 years off or 3.5 years off between 2014 and 2018.
Wonder if he'd done his service then. No, so they've got a lot of military service.
Yeah, that's probably what it was. I mean, he's had a pretty decent record. Look at his losses. Ricardo Ramos and Rani Yaya. Some of his wins are pretty good. Kaneti, Ishihara, Brandon Davis, Pingyuan Liu is a good one. Fucking hell, man, that was a struggle. A good one as well. So this will be a good fight. I agree with you, that'll be a good fight.
There's some decent stuff for it. I think if you know your MMA again, I think there's some decent stuff for it.
There's some decent stuff for it, mate. Just nothing other than the top maybe four fights really getting me proper buzzing. But it's always a bit like that. You get the slow one, the slower fights, maybe the ones you aren't that into at the start. You'll get a couple of belter fights in there, whether it's a 15-minute war or a first-round KO to get you buzzing for the fights you're looking forward to. So it's set up brilliant. Two title fights, a rematch between two of the best at their weight division. I can't really fault the main card. The main card looks brilliant, so I'm very excited for this card. I think it'll be good.
Yeah, man, it should be good. I just wish they'd be doing it at a decent time, to be honest, but there we go.
Yeah, I know.
Because it's in Singapore, you think they'd have put it on maybe mid-afternoon here would have been fucking ideal. Americans could have woken up to their breakfast and watched them MMA, but no, stupid o'clock in the morning again.
Yeah. Usual, mate, usual. Right, okay.
That's
then.
That's what it is, my man.
Exactly. Do you have any news and fight announcements for me this week? Did you have time to run through any?
Got bits and pieces.
Yes, I think let's do it.
The biggest news, to be honest, isn't the actual fight announcement. The biggest news of the week.
Do you want me to introduce it, Norman, so you can put it in the jingle?
Too late now. We've started.
On you go, then.
Biggest news of the week is obviously the UFC is staying with BT Sport in the UK and Ireland. I think that is the biggest news of the week. I think it's quite good news for everybody and stuff. Ah, it keeps things ticker.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Well, basically, I think the 10-year partnership ends next. Well, 10 years end next year. I think they've signed a 5-year deal and a 5-year deal. So I think I don't know what the next deal is and how long it runs to, but it will be extended. A multi-year media rights extension on top of the current deal. So I'd imagine if it's another 5 years anyway, you could be talking 2028, do you know what I mean? So also I think the BT Sport got bought by ESPN or something like that. There's one of the American media companies, I'm sure, bought the rights for bought BT Sport or something like that. I can't remember. I bought a stake in them or something.
The agreement is the first major rights renewal signed by the network since BT finalised its joint venture agreement with Warner Brothers Discovery.
That's what it is. It wasn't ESPN, it was Warner Brothers. So, that's good news. That's great news for British fans. I think BT Sport are really good with it, to be honest. I wouldn't want to see it go anywhere else, I think.
No. Fuck no.
I think for us personally, you could take an example of Scottish football, that BT Sport was really, really good with Scottish football. Sky got the rights to it, and for me, I fucking ruined that, to be honest. Yeah. So I would be worried that if Sky were able to get a hold of it, that they really wouldn't. They wouldn't treat it with the care and respect it deserves, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So glad to see it's been with BT. So we'll go with fight announcements. We'll start with one championship. We'll get out of the road quite quickly. We've got Adriano Moraes versus Demetrius Johnson 2, set to headline Wynn's debut on Amazon Prime in August.
Amazon Prime?
Yeah, class. I thought that was a bit random as well. Got Prime anyway, so I'm quite happy with that. That'll be good to watch.
So what?
So perhaps a belter of fail, so it's a rematch for the original fight, so that should be good. What else have we got? Fight announcement, Shane Burgos versus Charles Jordan. I can't remember if I said that one last week or not, but it's an absolute belter of a fight as well. I think that was just a made official.
Brilliant fight.
Mario Bautista versus Brian Kelleher. I thought that was a bit of a fight.
Oof, Ty, that's a class fight.
Well, that was a really, really good fight. So that's June 25th. That's only a couple of weeks. It's kind of short notice, that one, so it should be good. Ian Garry's got another fight. Gabe Green. I know the name. I can't remember if I've seen him fight before. I can't mind.
Yeah, if I remember rightly, he's quite long and lanky, but I could be wrong.
I can't remember. But anyway, he's fighting UFC 276, so he's on good old International Fight Week. So obviously they're expecting... They're pushing Ian Garry, they love Ian Garry, man. They've got massive hopes for Ian Garry, so putting one at International Fight Week is no surprise, to be honest.
Nah, definitely not. Show him off a wee bit, you know what I mean?
Definitely. A fight that I loved, actually, when it got announced. Inacio Bahamondes versus Ludovic Klein. I thought that was a beauty, but I thought that was an absolute beauty.
Baja Montes versus Ludovic Klein.
I thought that was an absolute cracker, mate.
Yeah, I'm all in for that. I'm sold. I've bought a ticket for that train. Absolutely.
Well, that's on the pay-per-view at the end of July, UFC 277 on the 30th of July. So I think that's absolute cracker, to be honest, mate. What else have we got? Where are we? Jake Hadley's got another fight.
All right.
Right back on the horse quite quickly. UFC 278, August 20th. I don't think I've heard of this guy, Victor Altamirano. Name definitely doesn't ring a bell. I can't think we've heard of him before, to be honest.
Altamirano?
Altamirano.
Nah, doesn't ring a bell with me.
No, it doesn't ring a bell with me either. So I'm interested to see how good this boy is. Maybe give wee Jake a wee ladder up, a wee step up into the win column, possibly. I think the only other one I liked the look of was Matt Schnell versus Sue. Mad, I can never say this boy's name.
Mudderjang.
Aye, him. That's added July 16th at Long UFC Long Island when he goes back to good old New York. So that's a bit of a fight as well. I thought that was a really, really good fight to fly away, to be honest. So there's some decent stuff in all that thingy, but stuff like that. So aye. No, it's been good. Some decent stuff. The only news I didn't like myself is I really like this guy. And considering the style he fights, you wouldn't think I would. Well, I suppose he's a bit of a wrestler, but Ryan Hall suffered an ACL. So now he can't get him to fight him, and he won't be fighting anyway to 2023 at the earliest. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, disappointment, but there we go. I really like Ryan Hall as well.
I like Ryan Hall, he's my style, but.
Yeah, I just like him because I feel like he's used always looking for a finish. So
yeah.
But cool. Anyway, that's me.
Hey, thank you as always for listening, guys. We do appreciate it. Get us on the socials at Inside Cage MMA on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Drop us a message if you fancy. Chat with us, engage with us. And if you listen on Spotify, once again, as always, weekly question. Please leave us the 5-star review. We would very much appreciate it. It would be very good and kind of you. That's us. So thank you for listening once again. And have a good week. We'll catch you next time.